Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny Caps hockey tonight right here on The Fan. 7:30 puck drop for a home tilt. Your boy's going over to the game. I'm excited about it.
Where are you sitting?
I have not been to Capital One Arena in a little while.
But you got tickets. Where are you going to sit? You know?
Don't know yet.
You sure? Do you already have the ticket?
It was just sent to me moments ago.
Well, what does it say? Let's find out where you're sitting.
I can't open it in
the
studio.
Oh, you can't open it.
I don't have any cell service.
Got it. Like, is there any, like, what's in front of you? Like, right in front of you. What is it?
Right in front of me?
Right in front of you.
That's tough.
Mr. Glass. Mr. Glass.
Who's Mr. Glass?
He's from the Unbreakable Universe. Oh.
Would our friends at Window Nation be familiar with where you're sitting?
Well,
86690 Paulson?
They just might be.
Yeah.
Let's hope Obi scores a goal tonight. He can come celebrate right in front of me in the offensive zone. How about that? Kondori and Murad sponsor this show, sponsor our each move during the football season. They will help you set up a last will and testament and a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation. Their estate planning attorneys will get you squared away at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com for our friends Kondori and Murad. Caps hockey at home. I will say, shout out to the fans who have been making their way out to the arena. You had the Wizards last night getting through the snow and the ice in D.C., and then the Capitals fans will be doing the same tonight.
Indeed. It's a slog, dude, in some of these neighborhood streets. There are a few roads close to me that are still a disaster in the greater Fairfax area, so I imagine that's probably the case all over, whether it's a side road, a hill here or there, or stuff that may have been fine, but you know, since frozen over because it's not warm enough, really.
How do some of these roads not get touched at all, though? Like, I don't understand. I was driving last night. 95% of my way home, everything was fine. But then there's like one fairly main road near the shopping center that everybody goes to near my house.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, it looked like you could play hockey on it. It looked like a sheet of ice. I couldn't see pavement at one place. My tires didn't touch ice or snow the entire way home. And then there's just this one road that looks like it hasn't been touched. 3 days later, I just don't know how that's possible. I don't get it. By the way, are you back in school tomorrow? Or are the kids going to be back?
I have not heard anything either way. I know neighboring counties have announced, yes, those school doors will be open. I need it. I need that announcement.
You know, I have a kindergartner, but she was back in school today.
Mm.
They went back today.
Mm.
Like nothing was going on. No snow on the ground.
Yeah.
She's in a little program that she's in as a preschooler, and then we kept her in it for kindergarten.
You don't have to explain it to me.
And she'll be, you know, probably at a elementary school near you soon. But yeah, she's in this little program right now. We kept her in, and they were like, oh, so it snowed. Oh, that's fine. We'll see you this morning. There's school to be had.
I love it.
We'd like them to do a little learning. And we said, good.
That's great.
Let's learn together.
That's terrific. I need that. Open those doors. Even if the kids are just in the gym for a couple hours, open those doors up. Couple bits of adult supervision. Let's turn them loose. Come on. Come on.
All right. We have not done this in a while, Danny, but I'm very excited to bring it back on the Grant and Danny radio program. It is time for an audio vault on G&D.
I sent you Rex. Do you have a call?
Are you sufficiently scared?
Yeah. I was like, goosebumps starts now.
I've got a neighbor who loves Halloween, does the big tent you walk through and scares all the kids and everything's freaky and
mm-hmm.
my kids are petrified to go near his house. He would like the audio.
He would love that audio vault intro.
All right. First, I saw this clip last night. This is from NFL Films, a little mic'd up via Hard Knocks, actually, is when we first saw it debut on television. But Roger Rosengarten is the offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens. He's actually a guy that I wanted the Commanders to draft in the second round.
Same.
But he was taken by Baltimore. He's starting for the Ravens, and he's talking to Myles Garrett here. And I'm going to kind of bury the lead and tell you a little bit of what happens just because it might be hard to hear, but you'll enjoy it. So this fairly obscure rookie for the Ravens goes up to Myles Garrett and basically says, hey, man, I know you don't know who I am, and I'm not a particularly popular player, but I would love to get your jersey after the game in a jersey swap. And Myles Garrett very sweetly says, you're in the league, dude. You're one of us. Meet me after the game. I'll give you my jersey. This was a really cool moment. Garrett, who despite being known still for swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph and nearly killing him, is actually a really, really good guy by all accounts. He's like just a mensch, and I love this audio. Love this clip.
I know I'm a nobody, but if I get that jersey out there, hey, you're in the league, y'all winning games, y'all looking great, you're never nobody. I got you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I love that.
That answer was fantastic.
He's like, I'm a nobody, but I'd like to get your jersey. Because normally you swap with a college teammate or pro bowler for pro bowler, all pro for all pro. And he's like, I know I don't really deserve your jersey, but I'd love to get it if that's cool. And he's like, you're in the league. Your team's good. You guys are winning. You're not a nobody.
I thought that was a 10 out of 10. So, like, it's the type of thing that, you know, that I would do, for example. Let's say somehow you and I were sitting down with, I don't know, name that mega movie star that's killing it right now. Like, we get to interview Tom Hardy or Tom Cruise or something like that, right?
We call that a BDK in the business.
So if I'm just sitting there going, listen, I'm just a local one market zilch, or two market zilch, please. Thank you, Richmond. What's up? But I'm just, I'm a zilch, but here's what I think about XYZ, whatever. And then he was like, no, you're not. You're doing something pretty special. That's really cool. Like, that's so validating. That's awesome. And it's also correct, by the way. Like, you're playing a starter for a 12-5 team with one of the best point differentials in the sport with a chance to go win a championship. You're not a nobody at all. Like, that's, I thought that was great.
Yeah, good for Myles Garrett. Cool video. Let's play it one more time because they had to put 1,800 pounds of music over it so you could barely kind of understand what was going on. So now that you've heard a little more of the description, see what you can make out.
I know I'm a nobody, but if I get that jersey, I'm hey, you're in the league, y'all winning games, y'all looking great. Never nobody. I got you.
Pretty cool. That's the brotherhood there that Dan Quinn talks about all the time. That's the fraternity. All right, this one is an all-timer. This is just straight out of the playbook of the dysfunctional, stupid organizations in the NFL. Welcome the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, is on a Zoom call. Trent Baalke, the GM of the Jags, is next to him. They're literally in boxes, like they're hosts on a TV show side by side. And the media is asking them questions, right? The media question, I don't know what reporter asks it, is about the possibility of a coach wanting to bring in his own GM as a tandem. Meaning, to Shad Khan, hey, the guy next to you that's sitting there right now, would you fire him if a head coach wants you to? And he says yes, with Baalke sitting right there. So awkward.
So I'd actually like to go back to John's first question, Shad, back to you. I know you noted that if this head coaching candidate was to say, hey, I think the medical needs to be reevaluated, the health and wellness, if they were to say, I would like to reevaluate the front office and the general manager, what would your response be?
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, you want to do it. Okay.
And Trent Baalke's making this somebody just farted face. Like, it is perfect. The visual is worth $1 billion. It's better even than the audio because you just have to picture him sitting there listening to his boss, the guy that he answers to, serves at the pleasure of, basically be like, yeah, if this new hotshot wanted it and convinced me, I'd fire anybody. Speaking of anybody, Trent Baalke, what's your response? I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, my skin is crawling thinking about it still.
The video in this case is just better than the audio.
It's incredible.
You got to watch it, Danny. It's just Baalke going, I shouldn't be here right now. This is not something I should be hearing.
I shouldn't be hearing this.
I mean, it's think about this. It's a Zoom call.
Yep.
where CK is on the left and I'm on the right, and someone goes, hey, I got a client that might want to do afternoons with Danny between 2 and 6:30 on the Fan each day. Is there any possibility I could send you a demo? And CK's like, yeah, actually, that'd be great, because if they're better than what we got, we'd love to make that change and get them in there and start the show as soon as possible.
Of course you have to consider it.
I'm just going, I'd like to be anywhere else, anywhere else.
Anywhere else but here.
I mean, only the Jaguars.
The Jags, man.
God, they're a gift that keeps giving.
Your boy Joey's favorite team. Never forget.
Right. Breadless Joe. Although I think the Jags, he's still a Jags guy.
Yeah.
But a little bit of thin ice.
A little bit less.
Like, I don't know how many games he was locked in on at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He's asking questions. Like, I promised him that Balke was getting fired. I promised him. I said, they're firing Doug Peterson and Balke. He's like, what if they keep one of them? I'm like, they're not going to. They get Balke.
But they might not, according to Shad Khan.
That's a great point.
He's like, if something better comes along, yep.
All right, so the Dolphins are not as big a joke as the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Tyreek Hill might be the leader in the clubhouse this week for worst teammate. So Tyreek Hill wasted no time after the game, week 18, didn't go back in the field after an injury, suggested that essentially he was shut down by the staff, which after the fact we found out he just quit and didn't want to go back in. More on that in a moment. But Tyreek Hill said he wants out of Miami.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here or that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. Fast. I'm opening the door. I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
Past tense. He just decided it was great playing here. I'm out. Do what's best for me, my family. That's a me. That's a my. That's an I'm. That's a me. I. Can't spell Tyreek Hill without me. Diva ass wide receivers everywhere. I mean, there is no position like this. Now, Tyreek Hill's a baller. Dude's one of the best players in the league. But other than my sweet Terry McLaurin, my sweet Prince, if you're really good, you got to be a little bit of a jerk, I guess. You just can't possibly be a team guy. This is the first time he's ever not made the playoffs. Tyreek Hill, for the first time ever, is in the locker room after things didn't go his way in the regular season. Let's go down to the locker room to see how he's handling it.
Not well.
Are you kidding me?
No.
This is ridiculous.
Now, again, when he says I got to do what's best, I actually don't begrudge that line of thinking. In other words, it's okay if your priority after you've won a bunch in Kansas City, I'd like to be paid top of the market. That doesn't make sense for them. They're paying Pat Mahomes $500 million, and they're going to have to fill the team. It doesn't include me. That is not unreasonable. You can't make your bed and then go, I got to sleep in this bed. Yeah, you went to a more challenging situation without the greatest quarterback ever to live. It's harder. You know what I mean? You don't have that perfect blanket anymore. It's now more challenging. More is expected. I'm sorry it didn't work out, by the way, for the first time in your whole career, but it's the idea that you were just this passenger victim in it all, and it doesn't sit well.
I give you one of these. When it becomes everywhere you've been, in his case, two places, now it's a pattern. Now it's, I know what I need to know about you as a teammate and as a guy. You wanted out of Kansas City that you needed your money. Okay, no problem. Go get your money. Now, to your point, you're angry with your money that you're not winning with Miami. It's one season where you didn't put up all the numbers. So if he gets the receiving records and the catches and the yards lead the league and all these things, he can be happy. Oh, that's all it takes, I guess. Just everything going well, Tua staying healthy, the offense being the best in the league, having a 70-point game against Denver, him putting up almost 2,000 yards as a receiver. And if all those things happen, Tyreek Hill can be happy. Not to mention, there's a lot of off-the-field stuff here in his past where it was we just kind of look past it because he's awesome and he's fast and he makes plays. But I don't know, man. The week one distraction, he's getting arrested on his way to the game, and that wasn't all his fault. It didn't sound like some of those cops were jerks. But, like, you know, he didn't help the situation by defusing it. It didn't seem like either when you watch the video. Someone's coming up to his window and he's already yelling at a cop. And there's enough there where I go, is this a business I'd want to get into? And the answer for me to that is no.
Which I get. I need to know a couple things.
I can tell you whatever you need to know.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you really don't. People say that. I need to have a conversation. You're not going to learn anything. This guy is a pain in the ass, and you're going to want him on your team because he catches passes and he's faster than everybody else. But know this, he quit on his team. This was Mike McDaniel talking about why Tyreek Hill didn't go back into the game in Week 18.
I was informed that he was unavailable right before a drive. I was not informed that it was a new injury, and you know, I think at that point in time, my focus was on the players, and I didn't take the time to go try to figure out more into that. Just we're competing, and we were trying to win a game, so my focus was there.
This is the exact same thing that Devondre Campbell did, it sounds like, to me, based on what he said. I'm just going off what McDaniel said. Mm-hmm. A player basically told the team, I'm not going back in. Devondre Campbell did it, and it was the biggest story in the NFL for 24 hours. Everyone called him the worst things you can be called as a player, quitter, awful teammate. All his teammates came out and bashed him. The Niners, I think, cut him within a few hours. He's done. He's gone. You can be Manny if you're hitting 30 home runs and 100 in RBI. You won't hear all that. People, you just want Tyreek Hill on the Commanders, right? I'm not saying you, but people do. Like, it's the same thing the linebacker did, who the narrative was shouldn't play in the league again. Now, I'm not saying Tyreek Hill shouldn't, but he did the same thing. We see this in the NBA where guys just hop around and they want out, and it's 2-3 teams in a row. If you want to sign up, enjoy it.
Yeah, you want to be in the James Harden business.
I hope he goes for 1750 and 111 catches so he can high-five everyone and do his backflips and be happy. And because if he's happy, you get to be happy too.
Yeah, coming off back-to-back years in Miami, both north of 1,700 yards with 20 touchdowns over a couple seasons. This year, it wasn't that. So all of a sudden, the act wears thin, right? You could deal with a lot of stuff when you're talking about the most prolific guy in the sport, basically. 119 catches back-to-back years in Miami.
I don't know that there was an act last year, though. I think he was happy because he got what he wanted. It's just childish behavior to me. Like this is not what works in a locker room. If it's going great, you get to be happy. Dolphins, because mm-hmm. I'm happy. But when it's not going great, which happens in NFL organizations, now I'm not happy anymore. And I'm actually a player guy in terms of getting paid. I wanted him to go get paid. I wanted him to find a new home. He found a new home with a great coach and a quarterback that he said was the most accurate quarterback in the league a couple years ago.
He did say that.
And now he wants to, leave the team, I guess. Okay. Have fun. He'll probably be here. And he'll score a lot of touchdowns, and I'll clap like a seal when he does, I'm sure. But also, wide receiver, man, that position's just different. John Mara is running out of patience. He was asked when he said that he's bringing back his GM, Joe Shane, his head coach, Brian Daboll, how much time are you until they turn it around? This is what he said.
How long will it take to improve the product, John?
It better not take too long, Bruce, because I've just about run out of patience.
The best take I heard on this was from Dominique Foxworth. I thought it was phenomenal. Did you hear what he said on
ESPN? I didn't know.
It was one of those shows would get up or stay down or go to bed. Or
First up.
Wake up with coffee mm-hmm. and Mike Greenberg's everywhere. Whatever the show was. Nobody was yelling, so I could watch it. It was fine. But he had such a good take on this. He said, when you're the owner of a team, you don't get to be like the angry fan. And you give up your fun card, so to speak. And his point was, as the owner of the team, you can't say this. If you're upset with these guys and you're running out of patience, then you either fire them or you keep them. But when you keep them and you do that press conference, you need to go company line. I have full faith in these two. They're going to get it together. They're going to win. We're going to win.
Yeah, knowing full well that when they don't, everyone's exactly. going to throw that quote in your face.
And you just make stuff up, by the way. You could say, I just had a meeting with them, and they're going, we have a brand new plan, or they laid out what they're going to do, and next year is going to be different. And then you'll fire them next year, and you'll go in a different direction, whatever. But his point was basically, you can't keep these guys and then immediately start the hourglass on them by basically coming out and showing that you're pissed and you want nothing to do with them. You got to do the opposite. The job of the owner is to build everybody up and endorse and support, and when you stick with them, stick with them. Back them publicly, even if you don't think they're any good privately. But he let the quiet part be said out loud. I thought that was a great take.
Yeah, that I think that is sharp. It's intuitive as soon as I heard it crystallized. I mean, to me, the thing I took away is you must have had more patience than any person in human history. You're running out of patience? Dude, you should have been way past patient. Last 5 years, here are your offensive ranks, points and yards. 2020, 31-31. 2021, 31-31. 2022, outlier, 15-18. Back to normal, though. 2023, 30-29. 2024, 31-30. The worst. General manager, offensive head coach. Wrong. They're so terrible. They've proven it. All the data you want has proven it. No to these guys. I'm running out of patience. So you set up your failures to not, you know, to have an extra set of pressure on them. I don't know, man. Your patience, the hourglass should have run out a couple of seasons ago. But God bless them. Keep running it back.
Who's going to be the next Jets head coach? What if it's Rex Ryan again?
Oh, Rexy?
They're interviewing Rex Ryan. I think they already have.
He was available.
He says it's going to be him. He thinks he's the best guy for the job. This is an interview he did on New York radio, I believe.
You think you're going to get this job, right? You think you're going to be the next head coach of the Jets?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, I do. And the reason I think I'm going to get it is because I'm the best guy. And it ain't close. The thing that you have to do, you have to connect with your football team. You have to connect with your fan base. And the way they play, that's the most important thing. Not just the X's and O's and all that. Look, this Ben Johnson, I love him. I absolutely love him. But I'm a better candidate for this job than he would be.
He's also a big Ben Johnson guy.
You okay?
Better candidate for the Jets job than Ben Johnson.
Are you?
Well, you want it more than he does, I bet.
I'll tell you that, yeah.
I bet you he's not going to answer the Jets phone call. Although they didn't have him on their list, apparently. They didn't want to interview him. They wanted to interview Ron Rivera. This is how their search is going. They said, we don't want to talk to the best offensive mind in the league right now. But we do want to talk to Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan. Good luck, Jets. You're really doing it.
I can't believe it.
I know you hate award shows and you probably watch none of the Golden Globes.
Correct.
That's not true.
I've seen Nikki Glaser, some of Nikki Glaser set on like YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah. She crushed. She did a really good job. Mm-hmm. She basically turned it into a little bit of a roast off the top of some of the celebs, school of Ricky Gervais a little bit, making sure they weren't taking themselves too seriously. I thought one of her better jokes, the quicker jokes that we could play here that's clean, was where she was talking about Timothy Chalamet's name. Did you see this? So she's talking about Chalamet's last name. She's like, it sounds like something Adam Sandler would say. And then she asks Adam Sandler, who's just in the crowd randomly, to say it. And he like stands up and does it. And it's so funny.
Actually, your name sounds like something Adam Sandler would say. No, Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet. Oh, yeah, Timothy Chalamet. I think Sandler's here. Sandler, can I get a Chalamet? Chalamet.
It's perfect.
I just think
it's so good.
A really funny bit.
That is a good bit.
And he does it with his hands, just like she was doing. He like saying, he's like, Chalamet.
Chalamet. My favorite joke she told was, you're going to, when you see this now, 5 or 10 years from now, whatever, you're going to be, oh, that was the award show. And it pans to someone in the crowd where they're going, oh, that's before they found that guy, found out that guy was guilty.
Right.
That would pop me so hard because they went, because like in that room, that's a tough room.
Oh, it is.
Because they're sitting there chattering. They're doing their own thing. They're very self-important. And so it's tough to like kind of get a good laugh. But you could tell right away there was like a, like right immediately everyone started looking around. It was a little bit puckered. That was awesome.
Yeah, she crushed. Well done by her. I'm sure she'll be hosting again. Let's give you a Caps power play. Capitals looking for a goal from Alex Ovechkin for what would be the fifth time in 7 games since he came back from injury tonight. They're 26-10-4. They are playing 18-win Vancouver. Decent team out of the West.
Yeah, Vancouver's decent, right? I need the Caps to take advantage of a team that's not as good as they are, quite frankly. I think they got 45 points. They are fourth in that Pacific Division behind Vegas and Edmonton and the Kings. Just go ahead and thump somebody. The Washington's actually fared pretty well over the years. Against Vancouver, good chance to get yourself 2 points in regulation.
There you go, your Caps power play. Big thank you to everybody who listened to the program today over the air on The Fan or on the Odyssey app. If you watched us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel, we appreciate that. You can watch the show every single day on YouTube. 2 o'clock tomorrow, we're back. We've got former terrific cornerback Patrick Peterson on the show at 3 o'clock. And we're giving away Caps tickets right at 4 p.m. ahead of the Beltway Blitz, so make sure you're listening then. We will be in Arlington, in fact, in Clarendon at Hyde Social.
Hyde Social.
Friday for our Friday field trip series from 2 to 6:30. So make sure if you have plans, you get on out there, get yourself a seat, get some food and drink, and kick it with us. Toby Altizer, overtime.
Toblerone.
Next, we call it Tobvertime on The Fan. For Darius, Ryan, and Toby, G&D saying so long. Keep it right here on The Fan.
Thank you for coming.